is coming. The king's coming. This day, over 2,000 years ago on Palm Sunday, you know what they said? They said, the king is coming. They started singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, the king's coming. And he did come. But I got good news. That ain't the only time the king's going to come. The king's coming back again. And you know who he's coming back for? He's coming back for his church. Those that are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So this morning, if you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn with me to Matthew chapter number 21. We'll begin reading in verse number 5. The king is coming. When you find your place, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter number 21 in verse number 5. The king is coming. Matthew 21 in verse number 5. And the Bible says, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh. There it is. Unto the meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him their own. And a very great multitude spread the garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And he was coming to Jerusalem. All the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. They got it wrong. He's the Savior of the world. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and brought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. Lord, I realize that I'm in over my head. Father God, I'm in deeper than I need to be right now, but I thank you. And Father God, when we get out of the shallow water and get into the deep water, we don't have to worry about it. Father, you'll take care of it. And Lord, I pray this morning they be a lost man, woman, boy, or girl. I pray they get under old-timey conviction. Conviction of the Holy Ghost, Father. Hey, we didn't come to church, but we come to worship. We come to get at the feet of Jesus. Father, and I pray this morning, Father, that you take this word that the king is coming. And Lord God, whoever don't know you this morning, I pray you draw them to you this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, this morning, I just say it's good to be in your house. Father, I love you. I thank you. I uplift your name. Father, it's all about you and nothing about me. Father, I pray this morning you guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Watch over me as I preach this word. And Father God, I pray you be magnified. And I pray all this and ask all this in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. The king is coming. I want to talk about that this morning. The king is coming. And Jesus Christ, as we look here in the text, the king was welcomed into Jerusalem with a parade. They done paraded him in, and I want you to know a multitude of folks followed him, and they was crying out, Hosanna, which means give salvation now. It means they wanted salvation now. They wanted what Jesus could bring. But I want you to know, but according to the Bible, some felt different. Some felt different about this salvation that could come. And I want you to know about the king. And I want to ask you a question this morning. How do you feel about the king's coming? How do you feel about the king's coming? Well, I want to show you three places in the Word of God this morning about the king is coming and how the people felt. Number one this morning, I want you to know that the king here, some was irritated with the king's coming. Some was irritated with the king's coming. Have you ever been in a church service and it got a little bit too long and you got irritated and you wished you could leave and you could wish you could get away? Friends, I want you to know there's going to come a day for us that are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to sit around the throne with the 24 elders and we're going to sing, Holy, 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 worthy is the Lamb. And we're going to sit there. But I see in this text this morning, and in verse number 15. I understand here in Matthew 21 and verse number 15, it said that they were sore displeased with the king. Why were they displeased? Because he had done come in and he had done cleaned up the temple. It said that when he came in, they were saying, "Hosanna, praise the king." Hey, but they got irritated when he come into their place. I want you to know in my life, when he come into my life on August the 27th, 2007, I want you to know when he come in, he cleaned things up. Can I get an amen? Hey, if you've ever been washed in the blood of Jesus, when he comes into your life, he's going to clean things up. I understand here in the text that they were displeased with the king. You say, who was displeased? It was the chief priest. It was the scribes. It was the ones that knew the Bible. They was the ones that got displeased. They done got irritated with Jesus. They done got irritated with the king. Why? Because he had come to the place and he cleaned up the temple. But I see that when the temple got clean, I want you to know what happened. People got healed. People got helped. Hey, the blind got sight. Hey, the man that was lame, he was able to walk. I want you to know this place ought to be a place that when people come into this temple and they come into this place, I want you to know the ones that are blind, I pray they receive sight. Amen. Hey, the ones that come in that were lame and didn't know how to walk for Jesus, I pray when they leave, they understand that he is the way. Amen. I understand that in the Bible that some was irritated with the king in Matthew 21, 15. But I also know that in Mark chapter number 11 and verse number 18, not only was some displeased with the king, but some wanted to destroy the king. Turn with me there, if you will, in the Gospels account here in Mark chapter number 11 and verse number 18. I want to show you this. Not only in Matthew's account, there was some that was irritated so much, they got displeased with the king. But I want you to know this morning that in Mark's gospel here, he said this, that they done got to the place they wasn't only displeased, but they wanted to destroy him. Look what he says in Mark 11, 18. The Bible says, and the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. Oh, look here, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. I want you to know they wanted to destroy the king. But I got good news this morning. Hey, you can try to drown him and he'll walk on water. Amen. Hey, you can try to drown him and he'll walk on water. Hey, you can try to burn him. You can throw him in the fiery furnace and he'll walk out of the fire. Can I get a witness this morning? You've been in them fires. I want you to know this morning, you can try to smother him out and he is the breath that's in your lungs. Hey, you can try to hide him out. You can try to ignore him and get away from him, and you'll find him on every corner. Friends, I want you to know the ones that painted the skies, the ones that made the mountain, the one that sculpted out the oceans. I want you to know this morning, I'm talking about that king's coming back. I want you to know this morning, you must not be irritated with him. You must accept him this morning and be glad to know that he's coming back for his church. Amen. Oh, I'd ask you a question this morning. Are you displeased with the king? Are you displeased with the king? Are you irritated with the king this morning? Are you irritated with the king this morning? When you hear the name of Jesus, what does it do to you? When you hear the name of Jesus, what does it do to you? When he come in, they was crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." Oh, but I want you to know, they got irritated. Irritated with the king. But I see something else in the text I want to share with you this morning. Not only did they get irritated with the king, but some rejected the king. Right there amongst them, right there in the middle of them, they reject him. Turn with me, if you will, to the John's account of the gospel. John chapter number 12 and verse number 42. I want to show you this morning. John chapter number 12 and verse number 42. Some was irritated with the king's coming. They got to the place, they were just irritated that the king was there. You know why you get irritated with the king? Because he messes up your plans. He gets in your business. When he dwells in your heart, he is the shot caller from then on. He is the one that makes the moves from then on. But I want you to know, not only some was irritated, but some had come to the place that they just totally rejected the king's coming. Look what he says here in John chapter number 12, if you will, in verse number 42. Look what the Bible says. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers and also many believed on him. You say, well, that's good. They believed on him. I got a question I want to ask you this morning. Is believing on him enough? Wait before you answer. Make sure. It's believing enough. Man, I want you to know, I got this on my, me and my daughter, we talk all the time. And I told her, I said, people come in and they walk to the altar and they give their life to Jesus because they know the King's coming. And they get up and they go back and do the same old things they've always done. I said, baby, I don't understand it to you. And as out of the mouth of a babe, she says this. She said, Daddy, they admit that they're a sinner. They admit that. I said, yes, baby, they do. And she said, they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I said, yes, baby, they do. She said, you know what the problem is then, Daddy? I said, tell me what it is, baby. She said, they don't confess him. Oh, look what he says. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. Look here, they believed on him, but because of the Pharisees. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. I see this morning some was irritated with the king. Some rejected the king. They believed his teachings. They believed on him, but they did not confess him. You say, what's the big deal, preacher, if you don't confess him? What the Bible says. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I ask you a question this morning. What do you like more, the praise of men or the praise of God? My wife, I want to share this with you. My wife posted on Facebook, and I'm not a big Facebook dude. If I'm on that, it's because they put my picture on there. Can I get a witness? And she can put a picture of our cute little family on there, and we are cute because the baby's in it, nothing to do with me, amen? But I don't understand this. Everybody says, that baby's a cute, looks just like his daddy. You can put that on there, and there'll be over 200 comments. How cute, how beautiful. Oh, it's amazing. Look, oh, it's so cute. But we hung that cross out there. And she said, I don't understand something. I said, what is it? She said, we don't have but 5 comments where we have 200 on a picture of our family. 200 of them people we know are born again, supposedly born again child of God that'll comment on that family post. But when you come to the cross, you come to that place in your life, I want you to know what the cross will do. It'll irritate a person. You know why you don't comment on them? Let me tell you this morning, because it sets you apart. People will know who you believe in. They'll know who your faith is in. It irritates folks. But I want you to know, we reject him sometimes, but you listen to this. He said this, they believe, but they did not confess. They did not confess. You said, what's the big deal with that, preacher? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You said, just because they believe, they're going to heaven. Oh, no. Hey, he said, you must confess. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. They let some other man stand in the way of them coming to where Jesus is. This morning, if somebody standing in your way for you getting to Jesus, get away from them and get to Jesus. Amen. Get to Jesus. The King's coming. I want you to know he's coming back one day. He's coming back one day, and he's not going to rapture the ones that's got church membership. He's not going to rapture them. He's not going to rapture out every preacher. He's not going to rapture out every deacon. You know who he's going to rapture? The ones that are washed in the blood of Jesus is the ones he's going to rapture out. You say, preacher, are you sure? Turn with me to the book of James this morning, what Brother James says. Man, I'm just, this time of year I get excited. Oh, glory to God. I just get fired up on it, thinking about what Jesus has done in our life. James chapter number 2, I want to show you this morning. He says that some was irritated with the king's coming. Some rejected the king's coming. You said, preacher, I believe. I believe. I'm just going to keep quiet because I don't want to stir up nothing. Ain't none of my business, I ain't getting in it. You ever heard that? Can I say to you, keeping quiet's dangerous. Man, we was taking pictures on Front Street, and the boy ain't seen him forever. I want you to know he walked up, and when he walked up to me, he said, B.J. Mills, what you doing now? Before I could think, I said, man, I'm preaching the gospel. I've been washing the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm preaching the gospel, the good news of the gospel. I'm preaching Jesus. He said, oh, man, I didn't know that. I just moved back. I said, you know some old boys over there. We went to school with. I said, Brother Shay Taylor, he goes over there. I said, Brother Roy Parker, you remember him in the field house? He said, man, yeah, I remember Roy. I said, you remember David Whitaker? He said, yeah, I remember him too. I said, man, all them boys have been washed in the blood of Jesus. He said, that blows my mind. I said, I want you to know when you meet Jesus, it'll blow your mind. Amen. Whoa, glory. He says this morning, though, he said, believing is enough. Look what he says in James chapter number 2 and verse number 19, what the Bible says. Brother James says, thou believest that there is one God. He said, you believe that there is one God, thou doest well. He said, you're doing good that you believe that there's one God. He said, but there's only one problem. There's only one little problem here. Look what he says. The devils also believe and tremble. What do they not do that we do? They don't confess him. What do? We confess him. We confess him. I'm not irritated with him. I've not rejected him. I'm excited that he's coming again one day to wash me away from this place, to take me away from. He's going to save my soul, and he's going to wash me away from here, take me away from here, and take me right to heaven. I thank God for that day. This morning, I want you to know some was irritated, some rejected, but some accepted. Some accepted. Some accepted. I'm going to ask you something this morning. Have you got to a place in your life that you're just irritated with Jesus? Or are you still at a place that you reject him? There's got to be a time in your life that you accept him. There's got to be a time in your life that you accept him as your Lord and Savior. You say, will that make the difference? It'll make all the difference in the world when that time comes and they lay that body down. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to show you this morning, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter number 27. We're talking about Palm Sunday. He rode in on that Sunday. There's some that was irritated. Man, he messed up what they had going on. Some rejected him, but some accepted him. Matthew chapter number 27 this morning. Some accepted him. Let's go to verse 53. Psalms, Matthew 27, 53. This is after the resurrection. Look at here. This is after he had died on the cross. In 53, and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. This is the ones that were asleep. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. I'm sorry, Mr. Centurion, you got it wrong. He says, surely this was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. When he died on the cross, he was no less the Son of God. He is the Son of God. When he died on that cross, it didn't change a thing. He's always, he is and always will be the Son of God. You see, he got it wrong. He didn't confess it right. But look what he says. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. And you say, preacher, what's the big deal about accepting? Verse 56, among which. He said, there's many ministering. He said, but among some, I'm going to tell you. He said, among some was Mary Magdalene. What's the big deal about Mary? From seven demons, seven devils, he cast out of her. If he done something in your life, you know what you'll do? You'll follow him. If he's done something in your life, you'll follow him. I guarantee you, you will. If he's done something in your life, nobody had to beg you to come to church. Nobody had to beg you to get in the house of God. When he does that work in your life, he said it was Mary, Mary, the mother of James, and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. And when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph. I see that Mary Magdalene, she accepted him. She confessed him. I see that Joseph of Arimathea had that barred tomb. He said, hey, you can use it. He wasn't going to need it anyway. 3 days, ain't going to need to buy it. Huh? He ain't there no more. He ain't there no more. He's gone. He's arose. But I understand this too. Old Nicodemus, he come. And out of all the Gospels, you know who gives the account of Nicodemus come to the body of Jesus? Old John. The Gospel of John. You know why in John chapter number 3 he records when Nicodemus and Jesus had a talk about being born again. He said, Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto you that you must be born again. Nicodemus couldn't understand. He come to him by night. Why? Because he was a ruler. He was high in authority. And he knew if he come to Jesus, he might lose something. This morning you're saying, if I come to Jesus, I might lose something. If you don't come, you're going to lose it all. If I come to Jesus, people are going to think I'm a Jesus freak. Thank God. I'd rather them know I'm a Jesus freak than a churchgoer. Right? Nicodemus said he come by night, and he said, I can't understand this. He said, you must be born again. And then we know that over there in the book of John, you know what he did? Nicodemus come, and with the body of Jesus, he up anointed. And you know what he did? He brought 100 pounds of ointment. He brought 100 pounds to where Jesus was at. You know what that would be equal to? A whole year's salary he brought to Jesus. I see that old Nicodemus came to Jesus. The other ones, they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. But old Nicodemus got out of it, and you can too. But can I tell you somebody else that come to Jesus? You say, preacher, you don't know where I've been. Let me tell you somebody else come to Jesus. That thief on the cross, he come to Jesus. He said, truly what we get and we deserve. But this man, he's innocent. He said, this man's not done nothing wrong. This morning, I just wonder who's in here this morning. I want you to know the king's coming. 2,000 years ago, he came as a lamb to be slain. But when he comes out, he's not coming back as a lamb. He's coming back as a lion. And there won't be no slaining going on. There won't be no spitting on him. There won't be no thorns put on his head. There won't be no purple robe put on him. He will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And those that are irritated with him, hell will be their home. Those that reject him, hell will be their home. But to those that accept him, heaven will be their home. To spend eternity with Jesus. As I thought about that week as they come in, and I thought about how Jesus come in that week. The whole crowd was crying, oh, Hosanna, and they's loving him. And then it's 6 5 days, they's hollering, crucify him, crucify him. The same ones that said we love him, now they wanting to crucify him. Why? Because they got irritated. Because he would change everything in their life. This morning, if you come to Jesus, he'll change everything in your life. He will. It can't stay the same. It can't stay the same. I told this story in revival the other day, and it just feels fitting right now. I got to tell it again. It said there's this little boy walking down the beach, and he had a kite in his hand. He said, how do you know the king's real? How do you even know he's coming, preacher? All you got is an old book in your hand, yeah, but you can't destroy it. You can't dilute it, you can't pollute it. It's there. So the little boy's walking down the beach, and he's got a string in his hand, and he's flying that kite. And this thing got completely out of sight, and you can't see it. He's flying that thing, having a good time. And said this old man come walking down through there beside him. And he said, son, what are you doing? And he said, I'm flying my kite. Said the old man looked up, and he said, there ain't no kite up there. And he said, oh, yeah, it's up there. How do you know it's up there? The old man asked the little boy, he said, because I can feel the tug. He said, preacher, how do you know? How can I preach this? Because there's a time I was irritated. I remember what Brother Brad said at Broken Lives. He said when Jesus come to him, you didn't have nothing against Jesus, but he had something against him. He said, I had nothing against him, but he had everything against me. He wanted me to be saved. He had everything that I'd ever done, but yet he's given me grace, mercy, and peace. Oh, I remember the times I'd reject him and said I want nothing to do with him when people would witness. But I want you to get this morning. I know that I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior because I can feel a tug from another world. I feel a tug each and every day of my life. This morning I got a question for you. The king's coming. The king's coming. The king's coming. If Governor Kay Ivey came to the church, she said, we're coming to the church, we'd be welcoming her to come. The governor, we'd welcome her to come. We'd be ready. We'd be prepared. We'd welcome her. I got good news. Somebody greater than that's coming. The king's coming. And I got one question for you this morning. Do you feel that tug from another world? Do you feel that tug on your life each and every day of your life? I'm talking about something that pulls on you. And you say, I don't completely understand it. And I don't either. But I know it's real. Because there's a day in my life I got over being irritated and I got over rejecting him. And I accepted the king to be my Savior. Not only did I believe it, I confessed it. You know what he says about that? He said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven, Brother J.D. He said, but on the same note, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. This morning, if you don't know Jesus, it'd be the best day of your life if you gave him your life this morning. If he's not drawing you, you stay where you're at. Don't come this way. You can't be saved if there's not a draw. John 6:44 says, that spirit of draw. Without the draw, man, woman, boy, or girl can't be saved. But if that draw, that tug is on that life, pulling you to a place in your life, you say, I know I need to be saved. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I know there's a change. If you know that tug's on your life this morning, why keep walking the same way you're walking? Because I want you to know this, the king's coming. And I don't want you to get to heaven and say, we went to church and we played and man, we had a party. And Brother BJ didn't tell me that there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. See, I don't want that on my clock. I want you to know that the king's coming. And those that are washed in the blood of Jesus will be the ones that he'll snatch out of this world. If you're not saved this morning, I'd get ready. I'd get born again because the king is coming. Let us pray. Father, I love you so much. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you're coming back. Lord, I thank you this morning that as we read the text, there's some irritated about it. Father, in the world we live in, the commercials we see on TV, Ron Reagan says he's an atheist, Father. And in his commercial, he said, I'm not scared to spend eternity in burning hell. Father, what an awful statement that is. That Jesus could be his life, could be his light. But Lord, there may be one in here this morning that's rejected you time and time again. And they finally come to a place this morning. They've heard the songs that you went up Calvary, at the cross. They've seen the baptisms. And they know they need to do something in their life. Father, I'd pray this morning that you'd put them under Holy Ghost conviction. You'd put a draw on their life like never before. And that they'd come to know you before it's eternally too late. Father, for that church member this morning that's done got backslidden, cold, and complacent, Father, I pray they start confessing you. They don't hang their head in shame. Well, we got nothing to hang our head about. You own it all. Father, whoever I'm talking to this morning, I pray I'm not talking to them, but the Spirit is. That you would draw them to this old-timey altar, that they could do business with an old-timey God. Father, I love you and I thank you. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, I ask you to stand.